in Southside.
Now, clearly, when we set up the Book of the Month feature nearly 2 years ago now, of course, Jill.
I know, it's flown by.
Second anniversary. One of the key things was to obviously celebrate local authors as much as anything else, as much as the classics of this whole field. And, of course, recently we were fortunate enough to be focusing on You're Coming With Me, Lad. Okay, the full sort of 25 minutes was given over to what was defined as certainly a 21st century heartbeat. Lots of other marvellous things there, written, of course, by the authorial, I will use the term legend, because I think he's actually reached that sort of stage, Mike Pannett. And accordingly, we say from the Southside and indeed Siren 107.3 FM family to Mike Pannett, are you indeed there?
I am here. Good morning.
Fantastic. Good to touch base with your good self. And what can I say? I mean, it's the way you actually described the measuring of the flood waters and coping with people who had their nuptial bliss and blues interrupted, etc. I don't know with some of those relationships, Mike, how you ever managed to actually win Anne's heart in the first place. But there we are.
Yes, it's been an absolute... it was a saga, really. It was a very, very... interesting policing time I had, to say the very least, I think.
I mean, the thing that came across, certainly from that particular novel, Mike, was how interestingly you compared and contrast police methods of the 21st century in, obviously, the Malton region and the North Yorkshire region, etc., with presumably your experiences in the Met, and also perhaps some of the false stereotypes that the general public are actually left with.
Well, you know, absolutely. I think it's helped me, certainly, with the books. Obviously, having worked in London, it's a complete contrast. I mean, I was born and bred in the middle of nowhere, up in the North Yorkshire moors, and suddenly found myself, you know, working in what I called the smoke, deep, darkest London. And it was a culture shock to me, completely different to what I'd ever sort of come across. And unfortunately, I think people have often said, you know, wrong place, wrong time. In policing terms, I was always sort of in the wrong place at the right time. If anything was going to happen or certainly go wrong, it certainly did. And you know, I had an extremely interesting time in the Met with the varied work that I did. I sort of started in Battersea at the back of Clapham Junction, which was very busy. We were running at about 300 street crimes a month, sort of street robberies and burglaries. It was very, very, you know, it very was a violent sort of time in the sort of mid-80s with that sort of street crime. And I sort of went on from there to go on to crime squads. I ended up sort of working on a police murder squad. And then for some reason, I sort of had a change of course from sort of dealing with the crime. I suddenly found myself on the riot police.
Always good. I bet you gave thanks that day when you thought, it's all right, Mike, yeah, but you're on riot police duty now. Yay, you might have said.
It's scary times, you know, because people sort of see it on television. I was there for the very first poll tax riot, when it was literally pick up a dustbin lid and try and protect yourself. And there's a lot of people who had a lot sort of bitterness and anger to take out for one reason or another, but unfortunately we as police took the sort of bitter end of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting.
You know, we've had the things like the Marsh Nest disaster. I think I was first on scene there. Horrendous sights. And I'd just joined Battersea after the Clapham Rail disaster. So there's all these major events which you've sort of got to deal with. And, you know, I sort of 10 years of London, all of a sudden I woke up one morning and I suddenly thought to myself, crikey, where has my life gone? I think if you throw yourself into police work like I did, your life just goes flashing by. And I suddenly sort of dawned on me, having spent 10 years in London, that I hadn't been fly fishing for 10 years. And I thought, well, I need to do something about that. So that's when I headed back home to North Yorkshire and complete contrast, found myself policing the sort of Yorkshire wolds to the Yorkshire moors and all the outlying villages in between. It was totally different to what I've been doing.
Yes, well, speaking of somebody who was around in London doing undergraduate work at the time in the 80s, it was interesting times in all sorts of ways, and I sort of tend to endorse your sort of line, Mike, that clearly there were changes taking place there. It's interesting that Arthur McKenzie, one of our other regular correspondents and crime writers, of course, who's developed things, has also experienced his time of life and in the front line, so to speak, and we've talked about, obviously, the other riots that are taking place there. You mentioned, of course, that sort of rural activity, and I think you capture that so well in your Coming With Me, Lad, Now Then, Lad, and so on. Is it a case of sometimes you need to juxtapose a bit of common sense, though, and I think you make these points as well, common sense in terms of the decisions that are actually made there with respect to the big picture, shall we say, and making sure, because, I mean, there's one lovely case where you encounter somebody who you know is a bit of a dodgy lad, but, you know, at the same time, you can make use of him further on down the line.
Absolutely. I think you've got to bear in mind, I think, that, you know, one big key to the police officer's armour is having discretion, and, you know, a lot of people don't like that, but thankfully more and more now, you know, the way government's starting to think is we need to re-empower police officers to make a few more decisions on the ground. And that's what I've always done. And, of course, working in what was my beat, which was some 600 square miles, you can't go sort of jumping around, you know, in 2 feet in. You're literally often policing on your own. And I suddenly found that I couldn't do it, if you like, alone. And that's when I realised the local farmers, the country people, the village people, everybody there had a sort of role to play in policing. And I think, you know, I ended up drinking that much tea and going round to visit all these different farmers and outlying areas. And over a period of time, I sort of got them all on board. And we ended up policing the area a bit like a community. And I think that's helped me immensely in writing the books, because it's not so much, you know, all the sort of policing incidents, although they are interesting and some are quite exciting as well, but it's the characters that really, really sort of shine through, I think, in the books. And I learned so much from all these wonderful people that I met. And, of course, with obviously the first book was Now Then, Lad, and then the follow-up was You're Coming With Me, Lad. I think what I wanted to do, I wanted to give it sort of, you know, something that was relevant to both rural and urban communities, because I've been able to deal with both different types of policing. And I think it's helped also immensely that, obviously, you know, a great area to police is Yorkshire. And, you know, obviously with the backdrop of the Rydale and Hambleton, which encompasses, the Wolds and the Moors, it was a picturesque setting as well for the book. So in a lot of ways the writing became very easy, and what I wanted to do is give people this sort of snapshot, if you like, of what it was like being a police officer and sort of making decisions and what the thought processes that actually go through all those things, and of course it brought in my own personal life into the book, so there's a bit of romance there as well.
I think there's more than a bit, Mike.
And a great deal of humour.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was so important for the balance of the books, to give it an overall feel-good factor, if you like.
Well, it's fair
very strong characters, which give a sort of quite a nostalgic feel to this sort of modern-day life that we've still got.
It's fair to say that one of our co-presenters on the Book of the Month show here on Southside, Jill Prowse, thought it was a lovely book, well-written, well-structured, and indeed I think it was echoed from that point of view.
Yeah.
And also from the point of view of our Lincoln listeners, of course, delighted to see that in a certain branch beginning with W and ending in S, no, it's sort of water in between, etc. Anyway, that particular store, will be featuring Good Soul, because you'll be having a book signing there in late July, I believe. You're down to obviously civilise the fine folk of Lincolnshire.
It is. I mean, I think I'm going to be absolutely... my new book is obviously due to come out in about sort of 3 weeks, 4 weeks' time. I keep forgetting. Not on My Patch, Lad, which I'm absolutely delighted with. And, you know, I think I've been very fortunate where people who have actually picked the book up and read it and reviewed it, I mean, you know, to get this sort of the James Herriot of policing headlines, it's absolutely very humbling. And I recently had a sort of interview with a national newspaper, and they said, you've got the same enthusiasm as The Wire's Jimmy McNulty. Now, Jimmy McNulty is this sort of fictional character in America on a big American series where But he's absolutely right in the fact that whatever crime I'm dealing with, whether it was a sort of nick fence posts or, you know, nicking hens from under a hen, literally, to the much more serious cases of sort of, you know, organised burglary gangs and, you know, people cultivating drugs, all the usual sort of stuff that actually does happen in rural areas. People don't sort of realise that. But also going on to the sort of poaching side of things, and how vulnerable people are who live in really remote rural areas. And of course, people in Lincoln will know just what I mean, given the sort of vast sort of areas that people live. And it is very difficult. And unfortunately, again, was highlighted up in Cumbria recently with all the tragedies up there. You know, it's not like police in a city centre where you've got, you know, dozens of police officers on hand. You know, at certain times, you know, there was myself and a couple of others policing a vast area. So this is what I'm saying, trying to get on the community thing. But going back to what you first said, yes, I'm coming across to Lincolnshire. I think I'm going for a world record on my tour. I think I've got something like 200 bookshops to visit in a 2.5 month period. And I'm sort of starting in Yorkshire, the northeast, and then across into Lincolnshire.
Or as we say, God's own country.
God's own country, absolutely.
But before we move on to that, of course, one of the key things is the fantastic Wednesday the 14th of July at Acklam Library, where indeed you will be here in full force, presumably sort of discussing all three of your books in many ways, basically, Mike.
Absolutely. I think it's Acklam. I think Wednesday
it is
the 14th
indeed.
Of July.
Yep.
I think it's 6:30.
Yeah, absolutely.
Acklam Library.
Precisely so. And I, as I say, I really genuinely thought that was a typo. I thought, surely tickets have to be £200. No, they're £2. Two English pounds.
Yeah,
you know, two coffees and your chance to meet up with Mike Pannett, author extraordinaire. Jill, I mean, it's astounding, really, isn't it?
I know, it is. I think it's going to be a really good night and very well worth the money.
What questions would you like?
You know what, can I just say one thing? What really I love about the North East is, as well as I always like to get up to the tall ships up at Hartlepool there, but I recently went to, I was asked if I'd go and do a talk. This is last summer, and I've only literally got going with, you know, stand-up and talking, and which, as you can tell, I love doing. I love reliving my events. It's storytelling, really, and that's all the books are. It's, you know, it's really a sort of fine art of storytelling. And I turned up a place at called Shildon, which I think is just up the road at County Durham.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, Mike, will you come to the Village Hall and do a talk? And what I thought was, well, you know, will many people come? And they said, well, we're going to charge £1 a ticket and we're going to put a load of tea and biscuits on. And I thought, well, fine, I'll come along. And I was expecting about 10 or 12 people. And when I turned up, this is what suddenly dawned on me. I had about 150 people pack the Village Hall out. And I actually got up on stage and talked for an hour. And that really brought it home to me, is just how many people are reading and enjoying the book, and I'm delighted that you know, you've been very, very nice to me with saying nice things about you coming with me, lad. But I actually think I've learnt a lot in my writing skills and really listened to feedback, and not in my patch, lad. It's a clonker of a book.
Nothing to do with cabbage dolls, then, presumably.
That little step up again. I'm delighted. The characters are all developed, and there's lots of exciting things happening within the book. And I just hope, you know, people will come along and have a sit down, and I'll tell them all about it.
I think it's great. As I say, nothing to do with those cabbage patch dolls that were around there, just in case people were confused, because you never know. Jill, any questions you'd like to put to Mike?
Yeah, we've had a lot of good feedback at Acklam Library about the book. People are enjoying the characters. They like Walt and Algie.
Yeah.
I've got to throw in Algie. I mean, present a genuine character?
Absolutely. I think the thing about these books is now, you know, I think I've had a little bit of artistic license, but where the comparisons have been drawn between, if you like, to Alf White, who was, of course, James Herriot, who wrote about the veterinary side of things in the 40s and 50s, and then the characters that went with them, moving on to my wife's cousin, Peter, who wrote the Heartbeat books. Now, those were lovely little books, which The Constable on the Hill, The Constable and the Canon, as we know, they went on to make the Heartbeat series, which were fictitionally based. But what I thought was missing, there has been this sort of 40-year gap. I wanted to bring things absolutely contemporary. And all the storylines are absolutely happened. And the characters, I've had to be very careful because I didn't want to identify people, but those characters do, if you like, exist, and they're real people. It's quite incredible. I was meeting people in, you know, in the sort of 2007 who had never been out of Yorkshire. These people still exist. And when you get into the sort of middle of nowhere on the wolds and the moors, as you know, you find these sort of off-the-beaten-track places where these most wonderful people live. And I've been so fortunate to meet these wonderful characters. And without those people in real life, I could never have written these books because, you know, it would have all been about Mike Pannett. And I, although I play my part in the policing side, I think what's so important for people reading is to know what other people are doing and how they feel as well, and what everybody else is up to in this sort of modern-day society.
Well, I have to say, I particularly like the an exploded bombshell piece of the that you're coming with me, lad. Very nice.
Absolutely all happened. It's quite incredible.
Astounding. Mike, it's going to be a fantastic event on the 14th of July. I mean, we're certainly looking forward to touching base with you, good self, with respect to that. And I've got two final questions for you, good self. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us at Southside Broadcasting today?
I think it's been very, very nice to talk to you. And thank you for being so kind about my books.
We only call the shots as we see them. Otherwise, Jill would turn around and say, no, you know, we've got to score that from that point of view. It's excellent stuff from that. And we've got to ask the question, as indeed, you're based in the North Yorkshire Moors. We feel as though hopefully in the not too distant future, can we invite you to come into our studio and do a little live piece with us, and who knows, maybe the Lincoln studio as well.
I think that would be absolutely fantastic. I shall be doing the same at Acklam. I like to give something back, and wherever I go, I won't name the tea company, but when I was on duty and how I actually got to meet all these characters, as I said before, were these tea stops. And that helped me with each chapter a bit like tea stops, especially in Now Then Lad. But wherever I go, this kind company said, well, crikey, you drink that much tea when you're on duty, you drink that much tea when you were writing the books and the stories that you were telling in the books. They approached me and said, look, here, have all this tea, and wherever you go, if anybody wants to buy a book, or not in the case maybe, give them a box of tea. So when I come and see you, I'll bring boxes of tea and cake.
Well, amazing stuff. And I think we can arrange it. Presumably it's that one which begins with T-E-T and ends in Lee.
No, I think it's a bit nearer to home. Oh, sort of, where do I come from? Is it Yorkshire?
Oh, there we are. Exactly.
Yes, make sure. Best cup of tea in the world, apparently, they tell me.
Precisely, sir. Mike Pannett, as ever, we salute you and hope to speak to you again in the very near future.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.